You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
My name's Philip, and I'm from a place called Ruth. Any of you heard of Ruth? It's near Wivenhoe. It's great to see you all this evening. You're ready for pizza later on. That's enthusiasm. Looking forward to that. Well, we're in a sermon series, and this is the last message in the series. Mindsets, change your mind, change your life. Now, I've been taking note on what's been happening recently. By the way, my name's Philip. Used to live in Hull, left in 1979, returned 5 years ago. And it's wonderful to be part of Hull Vineyard Church. So what we've been looking at in this series entitled Mindsets. Well, Josh kicked us off with renewing our minds. More of that a little bit later. And then Sarah talked about the battle of our minds. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And then Jamie looked at the area of temptation, something that can affect our minds and make us less effective in our faith. And then Joni last week looked at the area of anxiety and peace, and she spoke about the peace of God that passes all understanding and that we don't need to be anxious about anything. Well, before I get into my message today, I want to mention a psychiatrist I've come across. His name is David Veal, and he's a professor of psychiatry at King's College. And he's a world expert on obsessive compulsive disorder. Any of you heard of obsessive compulsive disorder? It affects 1% of the population. And for some people, the majority, it's a mild case that they experience. But for some, it's life inhibiting. And this guy, Professor David Veal, is a world expert on obsessive compulsive disorder. And he's actually written the key self-help book on the subject. And he's produced the guidelines on how to treat obsessive compulsive disorder. You see why I'm talking about this shortly. And he actually ran, until recently, a residential clinic at the Priory Hospital, which is in Southgate, in North London. And he was dealing with the most severe OCD patients throughout the whole country. And the results he got was absolutely remarkable. 75% of these hopeless cases, so to speak, experienced a significant and life-transforming improvement. And the question is, how did he do it? Well, at that time, my daughter Jessica was a medical student, and she wanted the answer to that question. So she wrote to Professor Veal, and he said, well, come and work with us a few days. And when she went there, she discovered remarkable things. They used a technique called cognitive behavioral therapy, changing the way you think about a situation. And they also used another therapy called exposure therapy, if you like, facing your fears. And for this group of people who were staying at the Priory, it was a life-transforming experience. Change the way you think. Face your fears. Well, in 57 AD, the Apostle Paul writes the following. We're going to look at verse 2 to start with. Hopefully that'll come up on the screen. In verse 2 it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the interesting thing this transforming experience that these patients experienced under a psychiatrist was using things that the Apostle Paul described, renewing your mind, changing the way that you think. I want to touch first of all on verse 1, which says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So God says, I want you to serve me. I want you to be living sacrifices. And this first verse 1 gives us the motives, the manner, and the qualifications of this sacrifice. The motives, God's mercy. I don't know about you, but I don't like religion. Religion is very oppressive. Religion has rules and regulations, and no matter how much you try, it's never good enough for God. And Paul says, no, in light of the mercy of God, that he sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins, offer out of gratitude and love in service. Qualifications, living a life holy and pleasing to God. The theological term for that is sanctification. The renewing of your mind is the secret to sanctification. If you like, Romans 12 says, don't be a chameleon, be a caterpillar. Some pictures coming up on our screen. What's the characteristic of a chameleon? Wonderful creature, by the way. A chameleon adopts the color of their surroundings. The J.B. Phillips version of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And that's the society we live in, to be like everybody else. And Paul's saying, no, don't be a chameleon who adopts the attitudes of the world, but be a caterpillar. Why do I say a caterpillar? Well, it's there on the screen. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly, and the colors of a butterfly is not taken from the environment outside, but it's formed from within. And what we've been looking at in this series is God wants a mind that is being changed from the inside and not from the outside. And then that passage in Romans goes on to tell you, if we do this, God will lead you and guide you. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. I don't know if you've heard of a minister, he's the senior pastor of a church in America called Life Church, and it's one of the biggest churches in America. His name is Greg Groeschel. And he wrote a book a number of years ago entitled Winning the War in Your Mind. And this is what he says: if you don't control what you think, you'll never control what you do. That's real words of wisdom, isn't it? Just on the subject of Greg Groeschel, he's a very open and honest and vulnerable person. He's been a pastor for over 30 years. And he said, I got burnout. I was a wreck. I was drained and exhausted. And he went for therapy. And a Christian therapist was able to help him. And he's written a book all about that as well. Well, look, what are we looking at today? We're looking at the mind of Christ. How can we have the mind of Christ? How can we be transformed from within in a way that we can make a difference? Two scriptures to touch on. And the first one is this. It's Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, which says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. So that passage is telling us to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Second passage, 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. As we've already been told, it's the day of Pentecost today, so this is a very appropriate scripture, I believe. Just as we look at that a little bit about me, I, along with my wife Carol, left Hull in 1979. I was working in the pharmaceutical industry. Whilst away from Hull, both Carol and myself came to faith in Jesus. And I remember one particular day that I had an experience of the Holy Spirit that was so powerful and life-transforming. It ended up where Carol and myself gave up our secular jobs. We went to theological college, and I ended up becoming a minister for over 35 years. So a bit of background, let's look at that passage. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 to 16. It says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only by the Spirit." And then verse 15 goes on to say, "The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For," and this is the important bit, "who has known the mind of Christ so as to instruct him?" And then Paul says, and he's referring to people who are walking in the Spirit, "but we have the mind of Christ." So what is the mind of Christ and how do we obtain it? What is it? Well, that's my next slide. And what it is it's possessing the perspective and attitudes and purpose of Jesus. To put it in simple terms, many, many years ago, before many of you were born, people used to wear a bracelet and it had the initials which spelt out, "What would Jesus do?" And the closer we are in our relationship with Jesus, the more we're being transformed by the Spirit from within, the more we experience the mind of Christ. It's possessing the perspective, attitudes, and purpose of Jesus. How to obtain it? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, I want to say, first of all, you don't obtain it by, at the end of this message, saying, "If you'd like to know the mind of Christ, please come forward and we'll pray for you," and it will instantaneously happen. It's a lifelong experience of drawing closer and closer to Jesus. John was saying this morning, when you first become a Christian, you're a baby. But God doesn't want you to be a baby drinking milk all the time. God wants you to go on to spiritual maturity. And knowing the mind of Christ is that process of spiritual maturity. So how do you obtain it? Well, I think the best answer to that is to be more like Jesus. So what was Jesus like? Well, here we are. Be humble. We read a passage from Philippians, and that passage in Philippians goes on in verse 3 of chapter 2 to say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." One of the blessings of being part of a Christian community is unselfish people who are more interested in others than they are in themselves. And that's called humility. How did that apply to Jesus? Well, excuse me, going to verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2, we read, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." So Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, the creator of this universe, and he chose to humble himself and dwell amongst us, eventually to pay the price for our sin. Be humble. I've put in my notes, the mind of Christ lets go of pride and embraces self-emptying. I was thinking of Hull City. Hull City last season nearly got relegated, and they only didn't get relegated on goal difference. And everyone said they've got no chance of promotion next year. In fact, they were the favourites to be relegated. And then there was all these transfer embargoes that they couldn't buy any new players. So it looked like it was going from bad to worse. And yet they've been promoted to the Premier League. I support Liverpool, but well done, Hull City. No pride, no arrogance, just a team of people working together with a common purpose. How to adopt the mind of Christ. Secondly, be Christ-like. We read in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And this has already been emphasized in this series. Following Jesus starts with how you think, not just how you act. It's head, it's heart, and it's hands. Let me explain. I'm not a Methodist, but John Wesley had been a missionary for 2 years in America. And it was an absolute disaster. He practiced a religion of doing rather than being. And then one night in St. Aldersgate Church, which is in central London, he heard a message based on the Book of Romans, and his heart was strangely warmed, and he came to know Jesus as Lord and as Saviour. If you like, both him and Charles Wesley came to faith. I know we don't sing a lot of hymns here, but after the Wesleys had been a Christian for 1 year, Charles Wesley wrote a hymn to celebrate the first anniversary of his conversion to Christ. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Saviour's blood? Then it goes on to say, died he for me. Be Christ-like. Thirdly, be obedient. Look at verse 8 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, sometimes our faith involves sacrifice. Sometimes it doesn't. But we need to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. Head, heart, hands. Which leads me to my final subsection there. How do we experience the mind of Christ? It's in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation happens from the inside out. It's a bit like Isaiah when they said, who will go? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Transformation from the inside, knowing the mind of Christ. Well, let's conclude. And I conclude by going back to a scripture that we read at the beginning. But we have the mind of Christ. But that verse has a context, and the context is the person with the Spirit. So the mind of Christ isn't something that you earn. It's something that's given through the Spirit, and it's something that you grow into. What I want to do before I lead us in prayer is to lead us in a confession. Josh was saying when he kicked off this series that quite often people can be negative towards each other. And as Christians, we need to be positive and encouraging towards each other. So my confession has two sentences. I'll read them and then we'll read them together and then we'll pray. The first part is, I have the mind of Christ directing my thoughts. And the second, I don't know if you're doing the Bible course, but I recommend it. I have the Word of God guiding my steps. I began this message by giving you an example of a secular psychiatrist that made a massive difference. In his head, he knew all about obsessive compulsive disorder. In his heart, he saw what was happening with people who were suffering from this, and therefore he wanted to do something about it. And with his hands, he did something about it. Well, Christianity is a little bit different from that. But if we were just to say this evening, may the mind of Christ rule in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. May the Word of God guide my steps. You'll be amazed what God will do in you and through you.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.